The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague Roy Saunderson, and we're from the Rideau Recognition Institute. Roy, another fun show ahead today, and sometimes I wonder how we get to do what we get to do and interview so many great people.
Oh, it is true, and I think we're going deeper, and I think we're getting a variety of people that allows us a diverse opinion on leadership and, as you say, making workplaces a place where people can thrive.
Yeah, well, it's true, you know, and I enjoy this aspect and this topic today. We're really talking today around leadership coaching and how do we help coach people become better leaders, you know, from good to great, really. How do you coach them to higher performance and create a foster or healthier workplace?
Well, I'm eager to learn.
As am I. And guest today is a wonderful friend. We connected previously. We've had good chats in the past, and so I'm grateful he could join us on the show today. His name is Stefan Ryden. He's a leadership coach and management consultant at the Integral Business Leadership Group. Prior to becoming a consultant and coach, Stefan was CEO of a preeminent international online lead generation subsidiary that worked as a strategic partner with industry-leading affiliate websites and portals. And for Stefan, walking the talk is an important element of his consulting and coaching practice to embody and practice what he encourages and supports his clients to do and to be. Stefan was born and raised in Stockholm, Sweden, and has spent most of his life in Europe. And he moved to British Columbia, Canada in 2006 and lives with his wife in Vancouver. Stefan, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
We're delighted. Can you tell us How did you become an executive coach and why this passion in your life to go that direction?
Yeah, I was thinking about that question and I kind of, you know, how you look back on your life and you kind of see how things connect in a certain way. And I realized that I always wanted to understand how things work and I always wanted to realize my fullest potential. So I learned quite early in life how much power we have as individuals to change ourselves and learn and grow. And fast forward, as CEO at 29 years of age, I was really struggling with questions like, am I really a good enough leader? Why would these people follow me? What do I offer that they don't have? What is this leadership and management about? So I realized I wanted to explore how to become the best leader and manager that I possibly could be. And I also was starting to feel a growing lack of purpose with how was I going to put this together? And that had me really delve into personal human leadership development. I started practicing meditation and mindfulness. I started doing yoga. I started to read a lot of philosophy, psychology, and I still do practice all or most of these things. And then I found a program based out of Ottawa called Integral Coaching Canada, and I went into their professional coach program, a very rigorous 2-year-long intense and quite transformative training process. And it was during that time I really discovered that this is what I want to do. I want to help spending my time helping people realize their fullest potential as I was realizing more of my own. I wanted to share kind of the thrill of that with other people. I also saw there's a huge need. There's a huge need in the people around me and in our culture and especially in business, I think.
Yes. Well, and it's interesting, too, isn't it, that coaching has certainly gotten bigger and bigger over time. How do you help people understand the value in what you offer?
Yeah, that's that can be hard sometimes, depending on who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. Some people just really understand the value. Just basic things like understanding that human beings always want to learn and grow. That's kind of intrinsic to us. And creating a culture where people learn and grow and people are open-minded is always going to come back and benefit not only you working in the company, but the organization as a whole, profits, and the society as a whole. So for me, it's really a triple win. And there's so much research also out there that's supporting this. And again, I think most people intuitively understand that, especially when they get a taste of it. So the best way to convince somebody who's doubting is to try. Try for yourself and see what it will do to you. And there's just so many positive ripple effects that when you do this with a business person, they're coming back and you know, they're just seeing tremendous results. So,
sure. I'm curious.
It can be hard.
Are there common themes or challenges that you see over and over again with clients? And if so, what are some of those commonalities that pop up over and over again?
Yeah, there are a few fundamental ones. Resistance to change seems to be fundamentally human and universal. And it's kind of like likening it to friction. If there's movement, there will be friction.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're creating a push, if you're opening things up, if you're helping a person see something new and that they're trying to move into that, there's going to be a resistance. There's also a disengagement phase. Typically I work in an engagement that might be a six-month program. Mm-hmm. And after the initial excitement of the aha moment of seeing a current way of leading and having developed a vision of what they want to achieve and how we're going to do that, it comes a point where you're working without no major traction, where it's just kind of doing the work. It's like a child learning how to walk. You know, they're just taking the step and falling over and over again. Mm-hmm. It looks like nothing is happening except you reach a tipping point, and one day you're just taking that second step. You know, within a day or two, the child is walking.
Sure.
And another one is the impatience that seems to be so inherent to human beings as well, thinking we're ready just because we got it intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times the difference what we do is having someone really embody what they know. So that it becomes who they are in action, not just in more intellectual knowledge, because we can get stuck just learning new things and just stays in our head, but it doesn't lead to any change.
So how do you coach people along that that course, if you will, or that continuum where they can improve and increase performance?
Yeah, we have a particular method and process that help the client see their current way of leading, what's working, what's not, and we create a new way of leading which would allow for the things that the current way does not. And then we do tailor-made practice work, which are designed to interrupt the current way of leading in the ways that it's not serving and create new capacities. And this involves quite a bit of awareness building and reflection pieces, as long as new doing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So making the client really aware of the filter of perception, the way they see things, and also how that's showing up behaviorally.
Sure.
And then try it. It's you have to do the work. You have to practice. You have to go out, just like you're building muscles. You know, you have to stretch your muscle beyond your comfort zone in order for it to grow and change.
Yeah. So what are some of those examples of exercise you might do to create self-awareness for someone? Like what is something someone could do? They're listening today, hoping to take something back, you know, from an experience like this where maybe they can't afford a coach on a day-to-day basis, but they can say, wow, that's a great idea. I should try to do that.
Yeah. I think self-awareness is a huge piece. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have awareness, you can't really change.
Yeah.
And awareness a lot is sometimes enough for change. A lot of times it's not. You actually need to do more work, practice work. You can have the awareness of a habit that's not serving you, or you really have to break it over time. So, for example, practicing mindfulness, I think, is a huge piece. Observe your thoughts. Where does your attention drift to? How are you feeling? You know, get to know yourself. What are your values? So self-reflect, build more awareness through practice, mindfulness practice. Journaling is another one that I'd recommend that you can do on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know and just journal freely. You know, it's not with any other purpose than getting your thoughts out on paper. So it doesn't have to be, you know, this is what I did today, you know, more what's going on inside you. Get it out on paper.
Do you do, Stefan, when the gremlins, if you will, are telling you inside, you know, you're not worthy, or that you've made a mistake, or, you know, that you're feeling down on yourself? How do you become more mindful that that's where your mind is going? How do you respond when that's happening?
Well, I try to just be very aware that, first of all, that that's happening. Be very honest with that, not denying that that is happening, but that is an aspect of myself, that I have an inner critic, as I like to call it.
Yes.
And accept that, not making that into a problem is the first step. So if we start fighting that, right, then we're actually creating more resistance because we don't like it. So it comes back to really not judging and fully accepting and facing myself as I am, and which is very hard to do sometimes, but I've found that that's the only thing I really can do. And then choose. I don't have to keep my attention on what's not working or the problems that I have. I can shift my attention consciously, not in a state of denial, but really recognizing what's going on. The gremlins, as you call them, and then shifting my attention to be, and there's a lot more to me, and there's a lot more facts about who I am and what I can do and have done, and so forth. So really raising my vision, so to speak, from kind of the very narrow, self-centered kind of way that happens when you get into that critical mode, maybe.
Yeah,
and then step out and look at, well, this is the big picture, and connect with that. And usually things happen in a good way from there.
So begin with mindfulness. Try to figure out where the messages are coming from. Just be accepting of where they are or that they're happening, but then try to redirect to say, hey, I don't have to be owned just by that. So it's kind of like a mental jujitsu, if you will.
Yeah, get the message, like you said. I like that. Acknowledge the message, you know, look at it, see that that's what's going on, that's true right now in this moment, and ask yourself, do you need to engage in that further, or can you move on? You know, do you have to continue to go down a spiral that's not serving you? Obviously, that takes time and mindfulness to figure that out, how to make that choice, but over time, it gets easier and easier.
Well, that's the big point, isn't it? Because it's easy to have those voices come, but not reflect on the fact that we're actually just ruminating on those, that we're not stopping anything, we're not doing anything, or even being aware that that's what we're doing. So that right. awareness has got to be the critical trigger, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So it definitely starts with awareness, and then building sort of the muscle, if I speak my coaching language, of shifting yeah. your attention to something more fruitful.
This is a big conversation. There's a lot of people doing this now at a lot of workplaces. Stefan, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue the conversation around leadership coaching and how we increase and improve our own performance. You're listening to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. This is Max Brown and my colleague and friend, Roy Saunderson. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. I'm Roy Saunderson, along with my friend and colleague Max Brown, and our guest today, Stefan Ryden, a leadership coach and management consultant at the Integral Business Leadership Group. And, you know, Stefan, as I was listening to you speaking with Max there, I'm always reflecting on the fact that when people come to me with a problem, I always find that the answer to a problem is a question. And I know that coaching evolves around a lot of asking very good questions. Are there some favorite questions that you tend to ask clients that tend to get the ball rolling?
Yeah, I have a couple of favorites, and one is, what do you most want to achieve that has been a dream of yours for a very long time? So what do you most want to achieve that has been a dream of yours for a very long time? I found that to be a really good opening up a lot of doors. And then if you were truly able to realize this vision or dream, how do you think that will help you to fundamentally transform your leadership in a way that also helps transform your organization? And what are you willing to give up, truly change about yourself in order to make this vision a reality? Because people can be very quick to say what they want, but when it comes down to what are you willing to give up and truly change about yourself in order to make this happen, it's sometimes a different story. We got to be really honest with ourselves about that.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the difficult things that people have that they state are they want to give up, but maybe they're challenged by?
Yeah, usually it's because if we're not clearly seeing how something is working we're not working. So when people get really clear that actually this habit is not serving you, and they really can see that, then it kind of, the motivation sort of arises by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's the classic things like, oh, I have to give up watching X amount of TV every night to, you know, sit down with a journal or do a practice or sit in self-reflection instead. So just that resistance again to breaking a habit that are just a habit, even though they see that it's not really serving, it can be just so easy to fall into it, as we all know.
Right.
So it's almost the classic ones, right? It's like not having enough time or not having enough energy. And, of course, you have to invest something up front to gain more. So in order to get more energy, you have to invest energy. In order to get more time, you have to really learn about investing time and learning about how to best invest your time.
Right.
So that's usually where we get stuck, right, in our race.
And are you able to show them sufficiently? How do you get to the point where they have the intrinsic motivation that giving up, that sacrifice they need to make, there is actually a very positive payoff? How do you demonstrate that to people?
Well, usually, through the questioning, the client will get a taste for what that would be like, that kind of sense of freedom and the sense of accomplishment and or the sense of empowerment that comes with the change that they want to make. So really tapping into that and have them kind of see where the pain also, actually tapping into the pain that is right now, that they're causing themselves right now by not doing this. So it almost becomes unbearable in a way when you truly see and feel the challenge or the pain of something that's now, and you can kind of really taste the freedom and the enjoyment of a future, a higher vision of yourself or change. You know, that can become a really strong motivator.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to make that clear to the client and then to yourself what those two states or ways of being, how they differ, what they allow for, and what they close down.
Good, good. Now, I know in a lot of organizations, they may think that they've got a problem employee and they're not managing them well, not showing them how to change or develop themselves. And so we kind of get into this attitude of, well, we've got to send them off to some coaching. But it's
right.
Not always just for the troubled employee, is it?
No. For me, coaching is fundamentally about learning and growth and change. And to me, it's obvious that this is important, you know, no matter whether or not you're a great leader or a mediocre leader or a bad leader. And I'd say especially if you're in a high position of power and authority or if you're a person or if a person is on that track of moving up, why wouldn't you want them to focus and accelerate their leadership growth? Open their minds to new things about themselves, about others, and about how things work. Unleash creativity, performance, empowering people to take action with confidence. You know, to me, those are pretty important qualities and experience that great leaders must be very intimate with.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no, for me, it doesn't matter whether they're what skill level or where they're at. They
All
really
right.
can benefit equally from that.
So how do you help good leaders continue to grow and become great then? And how does that work within the coaching framework?
Well, really the same way I help a mediocre leader become good, if we're going to use those terms. It's seeing, again, coming back to looking at them, where they are at now, what's really working, and there's always something that does not, because there's no end to how great we can become. There's no end to how great of a leader you can become. There's always more to work and develop.
Mm-hmm.
So the process is the same. So let's kind of go back to what I was saying before, getting really clear about the current way of leading, what that allows for and what it closes down, even though that's, you know, relatively speaking, at a great level. And acknowledging that too, right?
Right.
You're already doing really well. Typically, the guys who are doing really well can be quite hard on themselves. So it can be an important coaching topic right there to acknowledge, you know, that you actually maybe trying harder is not really what's going to do it here.
So how do you help a leader kind of discover their blind spots, the areas where they may think there are strengths, but they're getting in the way and blinding them to progression or developing of growing their organization and their people?
Yeah, we, in this work, are systematically allowing a client to become more and more aware of their overall patterns of behavior and attitudes and habits, and how they are not, how they are or are not working in relationship to what they're trying to achieve. So we're shining the light with direct feedback and questioning in a live session. For example, it can be something that they're working on as a leader that they want to be more committed. The people are seeing that they don't feel they can trust them because they're dropping commitment. And all of a sudden, that's going to start showing up with you because that's how we work. You know, so I know that whatever they're working on, whatever's showing up, is going to show up with me. So that gives me plenty of opportunity to be really aware of that, so that when that pattern starts showing up with me live, so to speak, in a conversation, it might be that they're starting to avoid something or avoiding that commitment or dropping certain come late and dropping sessions or whatnot. You know, that's something that I can then, so to speak, bring out to them directly. See, this is what's happening now. Okay, see how that connects to what you're doing at work.
So you help a leader develop those skills, and they become more in tune, they become more aware, and they're correcting themselves. How do they, in turn, go back to the workplace and try and foster the rest of their people? I mean, what can they do to actually transform the workplace?
Yeah, I think the fantastic thing that starts happening, and that I see happening, is that when a leader starts developing their self first, they're demonstrating that they're willing to take responsibility for creating a healthy workplace and being a role model for that change. And this really, really inspires other people. And they bring that new way of leading, that new found open-mindedness and curiosity and passion and empowerment and knowing what can be done because they've experienced it themselves. So they're starting to have coaching conversation with people on their team. And they're starting to ask questions that I've been asking them, right? They realize the power of realizing for themselves and what can be done. So now they know what's possible. They go back into the workplace with that knowledge. So that's going to affect how they're dealing with everyone around them. And other people see that it can be done. This guy changed. Man, that was really cool to see. And I want to do that too. How do you do that? So it creates connection between people, and change and personal change can become not a big, you know, not a big deal, not something that we need to hide or be ashamed of, or, you know, a weakness that we're overcoming. On the contrary, it becomes something that we can be showing and be proud of and sharing with each other and supporting each other to change more.
That must be very, very rewarding for you to see some of those developments occur when somebody kind of not only gets it personally, but takes it back and applies it with others.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most satisfying things for me is when the person, the client is coming back and they're talking about what's going on in their teams and in their families because of what's happened to them, you know. Just kind of feeling that connection and knowing that I'm part of that ripple effect is just a really cool feeling.
And I think you mentioned something kind of subtly there. It's not just in the workplace, but also in their personal lives and families, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how you are in relationships, whether it's with your spouse, it's going to show up who you, you know, you are who you are. So you bring that person to work. You know, if you're if you're not willing to listen, if you're not being compassionate, if you're not living with integrity, you know, that's going to show up everywhere you go. So
right.
The changes are definitely happening in their families as well.
That's wonderful. Well, what an exciting position to be in, to have such a contributing role. Stefan, we're going to take a quick break, and for our listeners, I invite them to join us back in a few minutes on Rideau's Real Recognition Radio as we continue our conversation with our guest today, Stefan Ryden, and learn more about coaching at a higher level. For Rideau's Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Sonderson and Max Brown.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
The next generation of employees is more sophisticated about recognition. They want to make a difference to their organizations, to their environment, and to their world. Rideau offers a full suite of recognition and reward solutions tailored to meet our clients' needs strategically, technologically, and globally. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about: getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio with my colleague and friend Roy Sonderson, myself Max Brown, and of course our guest today, Stefan Ryden, leadership coach and management consultant at the Integral Business Leadership Group. You know, Stefan, we've been talking a lot about how do we get people to that next level of performance and talking about their stated beliefs versus what they're actually doing and creating that mindfulness, that awareness, and moving up. Can you describe for us a little bit what it's like to walk into a healthy workplace versus one where you don't feel that same those same characteristics? Is it difficult to achieve a healthy workplace setting? And how do we get there?
Yeah, I think it is difficult up until you reach a certain tipping point, and then it becomes relatively easy.
Mm.
I guess it's both that. It's both easy and it's hard. It's
sure.
It's definitely achievable. We see it all around us, and we know what's possible in terms of changing one human being and how big of an impact that could have. But most importantly, I think if the senior leaders are really determined to become, so to speak, healthy leaders, mm-hmm. or great leaders themselves, and they're willing to invest in a systematic approach that works on the individual and the team and the teams and the organization as a whole. But it does require quite a few factors for it to be sustainable, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So once it spirals, it's like once you get over that hump, and it's the same when you're coaching an individual, there's a certain point where you're turning the corner, and from there on, it's kind of easy.
So So what does that look like? What would some of those things that we need to have be in place? I mean, we often talk about servant leadership at the top being the pinnacle of great leadership. You know, whether people call it servant leadership or just this mindfulness about other people or anything we can do to articulate, you know, that leader that embodies humility typically reinforces and inspires people to want to follow that person as opposed to the person who's, you know, all about themselves and kind of arrogant. So we kind of understand that concept, I think, but are there ways we can encourage healthy workplace behavior then based on what we're talking about?
Absolutely. And I think most importantly, we really need to help people learn, grow, and develop. And I think when we're truly challenged and we're allowed to play and learn in healthy ways, then we are fulfilled. And I think these things spread, right? They spread just like cynicism and egocentricity spreads in an organization. So does, you know, these positive attitudes, like the ability to, you know, humbly serve the greater whole. How do you create that? I think there's so many ways you can support that. And I think you need to use many approaches, multiple approaches, because, you know, as we know, one approach doesn't necessarily fit everyone or not every organization or their stage of development.
Yeah.
So I think my personal favorite aspect of that is embody the behaviors yourself. You as a leader need to take that personal responsibility, and you need to start acting from that place. And when I say leader, I mean anybody can be that leader. Anybody is in the potential to lead others or in the position to lead others. Everybody has inherent leadership potential. But you have to actually start to own it.
Yeah. What would you say to a young person just starting their own career right now? What do you think they would need to do going into the workplace right now that you think would set them up for success?
Never think that you're done learning. Keep a beginner's mind.
Yeah.
Again, I've been saying this a couple of times. Leadership is largely about change, constant change, and personal responsibility. It's about being able to be agile. And to know this intimately from your own direct experience is so important. And at some point, this is the fascinating part, at some point in our development as adults, we need to intentionally and consciously invest in our own growth and development. We don't get the free ride that we got when we were born. You know, you didn't consciously learn how to walk and talk. You know, you just went through development that was, you know, not necessarily pain-free, but virtually consciously, intentionally effortless. But as we reach a point in our level of development where we need to invest in our own growth. So a young person might not know that yet, because it's kind of just been happening for them. So I would say watch out for that time when you're starting to feel that you're not learning and growing as much. And that's the time to get really curious, you know, keep reading, practicing, listening, taking courses, getting coaches, going to seminars, etc.
Yeah. It's interesting to me, too. You talk about leadership being, you know, a state of change and also being responsible for your actions. And I don't want to overgeneralize this at all, but I do want to challenge that premise a little bit to say, how do we create that responsibility in a world that seems really happy to blame others? or at least find ways, you know, to blame other people for and that I'm not responsible. I mean, even people not being responsible for their own health, for, you know, I mean, that's as personal about as you can get.
Yeah.
But blaming their doctor for the way they are, perhaps, or and right. I'm just trying to think, you know, of extreme cases, perhaps for sake of argument. But how do we create that sense of responsibility when it seems like there's a lot of people that have created systems in place that allow them to avoid responsibility?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. And I think, you know, with some people, you can't. They're not ready to change. They might never change. Nobody would have, maybe will be able to reach out to them. There are probably those cases. I certainly wouldn't necessarily work with any client if I don't feel that they are, you know, willing to do work and change and take personal responsibility. It's not something you can force upon someone. You might inspire them to that by helping them see more clearly, you know, in terms of the pain they're creating for themselves by not taking personal responsibility. Usually it's, we don't see, you know, how blaming others for our problems is really disempowering ourselves and puts us in a victim mode, you know. So usually it's because we don't know, we don't understand, and we don't see clearly what we're doing. If you can help a person see that a little bit more clearly, maybe they will spark something in them. But yeah, it certain cultures might be tough. Certain people might be really tough, and it's not for everybody. Yeah. Until they get to a certain point. So I wouldn't necessarily say that a person could never get to that point, if you know what I mean.
Sure, sure. Well, and it seems like the same advice you gave to people just entering the workplace is the same one we could give to leaders and managers, isn't it? That you can just never stop learning. It has to be a continuous process of saying, I can always be better, I can always improve, and that's just part of life, and it's really part of leadership.
Yeah, and it's a good thing. It will make, actually, it's going to make your life an adventure.
Yeah.
It's actually going to make life exciting. So it's not this chore, like, you know, work. You know, we want to avoid work and have pleasure, you know, kind of simply put, a lot of people think about life like that.
So,
but
so
they are not necessarily happy that way.
Yeah. No, and that's the biggest misnomer, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of counterintuitives in our behavior. Things that we think would make us happy that don't, or things that we should be doing that might, you know, it's like, you know, if you want to be happy yourself, go serve others. But it's kind of a counterintuitive that you have to almost create a discipline and a muscle around.
Right. Yeah.
It's interesting.
I love that, by the way. And I think you have to start, you have to sometimes get to a point where you're ready to serve others by serving yourself a bit first, in terms of really learning about yourself, so that you feel like, now I have a lot to give. You get to that point where you actually feel like you can really give a lot.
You know, I think it's interesting, too. I actually love this analogy of a woman who was a widow who was going to her doctor saying, you know, she was complaining over and over again of different ailments in her life, and she just went there. Frankly, the doctor started to realize that she just needed someone to talk to.
Right.
And the doctor gave her a prescription that any time there was an event in her community, that her job was to go deliver flowers, whether it be a funeral or a party or an engagement or whatever, and that would be her prescription. Of course, her life turned completely around. She became so social and happy and much more involved. I almost wonder sometimes if learning about ourselves actually also comes through other people. You know, sometimes I think we can become so introspective that we can always say, hey, I'm not ready,
right,
and never go public, never serve anyone else, because we always just think that we're still discovering ourselves. But I think sometimes our best discovery is actually by reaching out.
Right. Yeah, I think that's very important. I think that's a great point. And I do think that can happen and does happen. So, you know, a great practice might be to go to an old age home, you know, and talk to people there and help people there to get some perspective on your life and some wisdom from people that lived a long life.
You know, it's interesting for me. Sometimes when I get going through an airport or I'm busy, I have to almost stop myself. Coming back to what you said, Stefan, about mindfulness, you know, and I sit and I try to talk to people and just then really listen, like just listen to who they are and look in their eyes and try to discover their story and imagine what it might be like to have gone through whatever experience they're telling or relating at the time.
Yeah.
For me to understand better what it's like to appreciate others as opposed to just always being in my own mind, you know?
Yes. Absolutely.
I love that. Hey, before we go to break, I do want to get one more question in for you, though. I wanted to find out, what are some of the biggest stumbling blocks you think people should be watching out for as they move into positions of leadership? Are there things they should be mindful of? And perhaps it's they're already there, but they're moving even further, or, you know, there's stumbling blocks there that they're not aware of.
Yeah, you know, with the risk of repeating myself, you know, I think the big trap is, as leaders and as human beings, is that we start thinking that we have it all figured out. And we stop learning and we become rigid and self-righteous and arrogant. And that's something to really watch out for. And, you know, we have this idea that leaders should be all-knowing and perfect, which we often quite unconsciously project on our leaders. And many leaders actually get caught in trying to live up to this myth of the great leader. So the good leaders have learned to fail gracefully, you know, and it's not even failing because they take risks all the time.
Yeah.
So stay humble by keeping the beginner's mind. Beginner's mind keeps you humble because you're going to take risks and you're going to stumble and fall. You're going to remain humble.
Yeah.
And, you know, because that's what creates the learning. So
yeah,
to be vulnerable or honest and open, really, it's just kind of from our perspective that we look at things. Now we call that vulnerable because to be really honest and open, you know, that feels vulnerable for most of us.
You bet. And it can be hard to do. We've had Brené Brown on that very subject a couple times, and she's a vulnerability researcher. She's a fascinating
yes.
person on that subject. I mean,
yeah,
just
I love
very
her.
Interesting stuff.
Talk.
Yeah. Stefan, thank you very much for this conversation. We have to take another quick break, but when we come back, we'll get some final thoughts on where you're going and maybe even some more personal questions on things that you like to do and where you're headed and your higher purpose and things like this. I just grateful you'd be on the show with us for Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. This is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real. We'll be right back.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about. Getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. We're going to finish off our conversation today with Stefan Ryden, our guest today, and just learn some final pointers on coaching performance to a higher level. And Stefan, I hope you won't mind me kind of turning the tables a little bit, but as you think retrospectively and think within this coaching mindset that we've discussed today on the show. Are there things in your earlier career as a CEO that you wish you could have learned earlier?
There are many things, first of all. I think the one thing I wish I had the foresight to actually hire someone to coach me from day one, especially as CEO, if I, knew then what I know now. However, I can't really say I have any regrets about that because stubbornness and ambition, thinking that I can do it on my own, also led to this new career, which I love. But on the other hand, had I had more support or brought in more support in my own leadership development early on, I probably, hopefully, would have created a healthier and more fun company and organization to continue to grow in for others as well as for myself. So who knows? But making that investment earlier, I think it would have been great.
Yeah. At the same time, I certainly agree with you. If we hadn't gone through the life experiences we had, we wouldn't be where we are today, right?
That's right. So, that's why no regrets.
No regrets. That's a good point. I'm curious. We love to explore this every now and again with our guests, but do you have some specific leadership books that have become your favorites over time?
Yeah, I do. I'm kind of drawn to the more theoretical stuff, because which might not necessarily be the stuff you would read if you were an aspiring leader, but some of these books are. It depends on who you are, but there's a lot out there. So I like a book called Immunity to Change by Dr. Robert Keegan. Not sure if you're familiar with that book.
No, not that one, no.
It's more on the psychology side of change. Leadership Agility by an author named Bill Joyner that describes the different stages of leadership. He's done a lot of research into how we evolve from one stage to another as leaders. And we simply can't jump ahead. We need to complete one step. We kind of need to become an expert at something before we go to the next level, and so forth. Good to Great, from Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Right.
The Leadership Integrity Challenge by a man named Edward Mueller, which combines emotional maturity and integrity and leadership. Crucial Conversations. Really, the title says it all, but it's
right.
Very good to learn how to talk about anything with anybody, whether it's your spouse or your boss or someone at work. The Power of Full Engagement by Jim Lohr and Tony Schwartz.
Yeah.
I think that's really powerful in terms of energy management in a holistic and comprehensive way that I think any leader and non-leader, for that matter, could benefit from.
Well, those are a good handful and a very kind of diverse grouping there, but certainly I can see where you're focusing on. Now, you may have wished to have had a coach in the past, but I'm sure there have been some leaders that have impacted your life and made a difference for you, even if it wasn't necessarily direct coaching framework. Can you share with us someone who's been made a difference to you and why you appreciate them?
Yeah, actually, he is a coach, and he's a president of the Integral Business Leadership Group. His name is Joseph Zapedio, and he has been a huge influence for me in terms of, since we work together basically on a day-to-day basis for a couple of years now, he's really shown me what it's like to build an organization where you actually practice everything that we encourage others to become. So we're living this stuff every day.
Mm.
He's really taught me how to be a follower, yet created space for me to step up and lead when appropriate. And this has become available because he knows himself so well, and he's a great leader. So he sees, the potential in me allows me to step up. So seeing someone model that has been just very inspiring. And we're also not just colleagues. We go from discussions, you know, how to best serve a particular client to what's the purpose of life, evolution, you know, what's going on in our families and marriages. So it's really that work-life integration where we are who we are, whether we're in a business meeting or we're actually just hanging out. You can't really tell the difference sometimes. So and sometimes we have to focus ourselves.
Yes, I'm sure. Well, I'm curious. Do you have a higher purpose that you're striving for based on that kind of input from your colleague there?
I do. I feel that I want to play my part as fully as I possibly can in what I experience as our collective responsibility to create a more healthy and balanced world and to continue to realize my own fullest potential within that purpose.
Wow, that's a masterful purpose statement that you have there, Stefan. I'm curious, for our listeners, I'm sure that some of them might want to reach out to you. What would be some contact places that they could connect?
I would refer them to our website, www.businessintegral.com, businessintegral.com, and we have the contact information, and my personal contact information is there as well.
Well, that's wonderful. If there was one final thought or maybe some advice that you would want to give and to our listeners on coaching to a higher level, what would you say would be the first thing they need to do?
Just meet with somebody. Try it out. Try it out for yourself. Don't believe you know it. Don't believe you know everything about yourself and what you can become. Get professional support. And you don't have to commit to it up front. Meet somebody and go from there. See what evolves.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, Stefan, you've certainly demonstrated a lot of principles today around coaching for higher performance, and we're grateful to have had you on the show today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm very happy that you invited me, and I really enjoyed talking to you guys here today.
Well, thank you for being with us, for sure.
Thank you.
Well, people would like to know, continue to know more about the Rideau Institute. You can please reach out to us at Rideau.com. And Max and I welcome and encourage you to give your comments for future shows, for guests, and other suggestions. And you can go to Rideau.com/radio. That's Rideau/radio. And you can give us your feedback, and we'll be glad to send you a small token of our appreciation if you tell us why you listen to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. We look forward to hearing back from you. Thanks for listening to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. And till next time, I'm Roy Sonneson and Max Brown, inviting you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Sonneson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. For more motivational tips to help your employees perform better, we'll talk again next week.